Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yes, as they say, let's get started with part two of the Heidi Hollis interview. If you have not done so to this point, please start by listening to part one of the interview. You are going to find that as we discuss some of the elements of what was in that first interview in this one, everything will, of course, make more sense. We will probably have time at the end of this show to do the haunted report, as well as discuss one element which I have never heard of before, which is bilocation. Something Heidi Hollis experiences on a frequent basis. So, sit back, relax, don't get too far away from this radio, because now we're going to go into some of the best stuff of all. Stay tuned.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Part two of the Heidi Hollis interview.
What do you, is there any inkling that you can give us in trying to figure out what these dark shadow-like figures are?
I know exactly what they are. I've said it from the start, I know, over 20 years ago. And it's in this book, The Secret War. The book comes from the alien perspective, not paranormal. People keep throwing it into a haunted house. You know, it's over here. It's creeping behind a door. I'm like, it's alien. Have said it from the start. And people are like, you know, the new theory is it's aliens. What new? I've said it for over 20 years on the world's largest paranormal talk show as a regular coast to coast AM, you know, it's aliens, you know, so it's not new. It's demonic. It's all of that. So shadow people, they are seen right alongside of alien beings. If you've experienced aliens and you start seeing shadows and having poltergeist activity, they go hand in hand. Yeah. They are. Now, Hatman, he speaks, he talks. He does things very physical. He can blend in with the shadows, but he steps out from the shadows. So I took him out of the category of being shadow people probably about 15 years ago or more. You know, I'm like, he is an entity of his own, though he controls and is connected to shadow people. He has minions like that work for him. And we made it into a cartoon series. Minions, they're cute little demons, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They're horrible. So shadow people are demons, but they're not from here. So they are alien. They're not from here. This is not their home. But it's also important to note when it comes to Hat Man. So I'll tell you a story that happened about a year and a half ago. So a friend of mine shows me a sculpture. Mm-hmm. And I've seen drawings of Hat Man over the years. And I'm like, oh my gosh, who did such a clear and accurate like sculpture mm-hmm. of Hat Man? Mm-hmm. And my friend goes, excuse me. I was like, that's Hat Man. Like, who did this? And it's just like, Heidi, Rudolf Steiner did this over 100 years ago.
Oh my.
What? Rudolf Steiner? This is Ahriman. Who's Ahriman? You know? Well, he refers to him as the devil. I'm like, Hat Man calls himself the devil.
Mm.
And she said, do you know, Rudolf Steiner said 100 years ago, this would come to the surface
mm-hmm.
about Ahriman and who he is. And I said, and that's my mission. That's what I agreed to do, you know, and it's weird to say mission, sorry, but it's weird, but that's one of my goals. I was asked to do this and I agreed to do this. So it's like, now I know what his name is, but I call him Hat Man.
Yeah.
But he is, not from here. He will tell you he's the devil himself. He talks, he growls, he bites, he scratches, he beats people, he rapes people, male, female, children, doesn't matter. Anything you can imagine that will terrify you to death, where you're just like, I give up, kill me already. That's when he punches through your chest and tugs on your soul. Just ask the people who've been to that point where he pulled them out and by the grace of God got back in, you know. So we're fighting this very spiritual battle. It's an alien battle.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual battle. It is all connected. These beings are interdimensional where they can walk through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And all we see is a wall. No, how'd they get through that? They are looking at these things inside of us called souls.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, do I have one?
Do I
have a soul? Yeah, I don't know. Do I have one? And they're tickling our freaking souls. And mm-hmm. and who's got the upper hand? We can't even acknowledge that this is a part of who we are. These things are dominating and they're creating a very, very bad problem. Now, the more modern day understanding of Ahriman, that he's trapping human souls and mm-hmm. psyche into this very transhumanistic type of world.
Yeah.
So we're not evolving.
Yeah.
So we're not being aware of our spiritual selves, you know? And how are they doing that? It's through the phones, it's through computers, it's through the internet. We are wired in. Now we're going to go to virtual worlds, you know? And we're not looking within, we're looking without, and we're kind of being scoped and put into these other understandings instead of focusing on ourselves. And I'll tell you, you know, when people, I've had stories in the thousands. So the first night I came on Coast to Coast AM, mm-hmm. I got thousands and thousands of emails from around the globe of people experiencing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I did not know. I was told this is going to take over. It's going to be so widespread. Please be aware. I had no idea. I was the only person I knew of that was talking, experiencing these things and was told about what was going on with them. And, to go on Coast and that mm-hmm. first night get thousands of emails, so much so, you know, I had AOL, it kept deleting them and deleting them and deleting them and deleting them. It was just thousands because you have to save your emails back then in order to keep them.
Right.
So I was just losing thousands and I'm like, and I've gotten thousands ever since. So, it's an epidemic. And I tell people, it's not just a possibility you're going to experience these things. It's a threat because they're looking for you. And people are like, well, you know, when they write me, it's like, well, I wasn't drunk or high, but I saw this, you know, and it's like, or I was drunk and high and I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so people usually know their defenses were down and it came at them, but then they're not, you know, getting drunk or high and they saw it. And then I'm like, and then they talk about having other experiences. I said, he came at you 9 times out of 10. It's not because you're on drugs or something. Mm-hmm. It's because you're gifted. Because you're more evolved, you're able to see things and warn other people about what's going on. So people think they did something wrong. Usually it's not. he's trying to slow the progression of humankind and going to the next step. So if and it's like, well, how do you know? They see that, you know, there's an alien in there. They see aliens right next to Hatman, by the way, too, because they Hatman looks very look for the sculpture of Ahriman from Rudolf Steiner. It's an alien. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very pointed chin, big eyes. I have it on my website, HeidiHollis.com or shadowfolks.com. You can see it. So he looks very much like an alien. Okay. And people are like, I just don't understand why am I experiencing this stuff. And I'm like, wow, they put a lot of effort in you. I'm like, take it as a compliment. You must be one prize to be had. And you know, it's like when these things come, usually they're coming when you're asleep, knocked out, and they paralyze you. Hold on. They're big and powerful, but they had to take you down all these levels so they can gain access. Who really has the upper hand? We do if we acknowledge it. And when these things are coming to the room for me, I'm not paralyzed. Makes them really angry, you know, because I have no doubts about what I'm capable of doing. How about you? You know, so, and they also don't like the name of Jesus.
Right.
Well, how, hold on, they're aliens? How do they not like this little, you know, figure's name? Because that energy, that name, this what he came here for, creating this bridge out of this trap that's being created here by Ahriman, Hatman, demonic things. This is a way out, because he's able to create that funnel, that bridge out. So it's recognized all over. This is not something that you know, this is just a fairy tale. This is a big deal. Jesus came here and did this majorly for a reason.
I want to jump in here. I have a question for you. Well, a couple questions. Tell me about, because I'm going to have you differentiate for me some of these experiences. So, okay, let's start with the most current or the easiest one for me. 2 feet high, look like a wisp. And when I mean a wisp, kind of like a triangle kind of thing. Darker than your average dark. Going from through the wall of the bathroom into my husband's office. Okay. But it wasn't about the body of a man or a body of a woman or a thing or an it or whatever you want to call it. It just looked like a woof wisp, but it was obvious in there. Okay. First question on that one, then I'm going to go to the next example. What was that? If it doesn't look like a hat man, it doesn't look like a person with a physical form of any sort, doesn't have a hat or whatever, or even a hat or anything like that. Is that a form of hat man or what is that? What's your thoughts?
So when it comes to the clouds, that's a shadow cloud. That is a form of shadow people. They can become a shadow cat, shadow rodent. Head and shoulder shadow. They got all these different forms. They're shapeshifters. It's something that it's just one of their forms, one of their forms that they're able to take. And when they really mean business, I mean, they could be really huge, glowing red eyes, slanted, not 2 feet tall. If it's 2 feet tall and it kind of looks like it's hooded and it might have rounded red eyes, those are aliens.
Okay. Question or example number two, because I know this individual is probably going to be listening to this show. So she and I are having kind of experiences. We live kind of in a haunted area. All right. And which, of course, I've come to realize after having poltergeist activity and hearing all that. But she reported to me, this was my neighbor, that one night or a few nights occasions, there'd be something that looked like the figure of a man with glowing red eyes that would actually go up to her young daughter, about 10 years old, lying in bed. The daughter would see this thing come out of the wall and come literally right up to her and like put its face kind of like a foot away from its face to cause her to scream in terror or whatever, be very afraid, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So she brought this to my attention. He said, what the is that? And I said, I'm not sure if it's demonic. I'm not really quite sure what it is. It's obviously it's not what I'm experiencing over in my house, knock on wood, yet. Yeah. But would you say that is something similar to what you were describing a minute ago regarding the official hat man or demonic, something with the evil eyes trying to scare the bejesus out of this poor little girl?
Yeah, a hat man doesn't always wear a hat. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to. If it's, and now the difference between hat man and a ghost like figure, like there are some kind of ghostly shadowed out mm-hmm. People, you know, but hat man is really distinctive. I mean, you can see really clean cuts and that hat. And it's like, why a hat?
Yeah, why a hat?
Because he wants you to recognize who it is.
Yeah.
That respectful fear. He wants that. He's like, he's introduced himself to people as Hat Man. He's took the name I gave him. Yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? You know, it's mind blowing to me. Mm-hmm. So he's very aware. He wants word out. He's here. He's coming. And he's the devil.
Yeah.
He puts it out there as that. There's no, it's no question when you're in his presence that your soul shakes. Yeah. And in fear of seeing him. I've had people who witnessed him once 40 years ago, mm-hmm. destroyed their life in anticipation he'll ever show up again. That's how terrifying he is. And then I've had other people who have experienced him every night for 40 years and they have no life, you know? So it's a horror. It's a terror. There's a problem and we need to wake up. And, you know, I'll say it to my dying day. This thing is here for us. It is. And it's here to the progress of us. It's not as powerful as you think, but don't challenge it.
Yeah.
Stand your ground. Say the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? He'll hear you.
Mm-hmm.
He made his mark here. He put all these things on notice. And it's like people like, oh, I just don't get into that religion thing. I don't believe in God and Jesus. But I just saw the devil. What? Did you really say that out loud? Because that sounds really dumb. Because you just acknowledge evil versus God or Jesus, but you acknowledge the devil. You better pray that you have something on your side because you just saw the power of this thing to walk through and to make your soul quake. So if you don't believe in these higher powers, the more positive side, just throw a shoe at it then, because you've got to, you know, and Jesus said it has to have faith the size of a mustard seed, that little. So if you could even instinctually say the name Jesus, mm-hmm. it'll work. And I'm not a Bible thumper. I'm realistic. And I'm just being painfully honest about the reality of this duality and this conflict going on. Call it aliens, call it demons, call it whatever you want, and angels. But know that there are opposing forces. And that's why I called my book, The Secret War. Mm-hmm. The things are real. That these rumors of a battle are real. And you see our government's talking about aliens being real. Now you got to think about, hold it. How many millions of people have said they've been abducted, terrorized, raped, mm-hmm. abused? Mm-hmm. Sounds like hell to me. You know, but people now I was in these groups. I had my own group where people had these stories of terror, sleeping with a shotgun, wanting to kill these things. And then all of a sudden I'm chosen. I'm special. This is why they did this to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, is it Stockholm syndrome? What is it? I don't know. But all I know is if you didn't invite it, if you didn't say, hey, this time works for me, pop on over and then abuse me, you know, then it's not a good guy. And it's not. You know, I don't know what button got pushed, but I know I looked into the eyes of these people who slept with shotguns, who put the shotguns away and are euphoric about the next abuse, you know? And it's like, but I was taught how to use their machine after they, you know, cut my gut open and took my baby, you know, I'm like, I don't understand it. And, even that part's being acknowledged by the government now that alien abductions, the abuses and stuff has been going on. Yeah. But how about the military guy with the clipboard standing next to him? Those have been reported too. They're not talking about that. So there's a problem. And guess what? Name of Jesus is the main thing that works. It's something else. It's something else. So, you know, what can we do? But be honest.
I've got one more illustration or example that happened to me that I am curious about, because I know that, yes, I know that for fact, that if you do say the name of Jesus and you believe that, that whatever is in your room will probably go away. Maybe, we hope. I was in a church. I used to be, I've done many things in my life. One of my hobbies was, I was a professional photographer, and I went into this church during the daytime when they left it open. It, you know, had been rumored that, at night there'd be a lot of homeless people kind of sleeping on the pews, and sometimes few of them would be dead, you know, the next day, that, you know, kind of thing. Well, I was in this church. I think it was a Catholic church, if I remember this correctly. And I was just doing my thing. I mean, I felt a little creeped out in there. When you're in a building that you're not familiar with by yourself, after a while, you can creep yourself out. Well, anyway, I was standing in one of the pews, and I saw this, it was like a shadow, it literally go down the middle of the aisle. It was long. So it led me to believe, like, you know, if you, let's compare it to if you have a window and the cloud goes, you know, and it just kind of goes like this, you know, and so you're thinking, oh, the cloud must have just went over because it just created this shadow that went right down the middle of the aisle. Well, that one day I said to myself, maybe, and I said, I'm a little bit scared to do this, but I'm kind of curious what's in the back room that might have caused that shadow. So I went to this back room where I saw it go. And you want to talk about feeling a little freaked out. I didn't know if I was going to see a dead person in this corner or whatever, whatever. You know, it's just, I was just creeped out. Well, anyway, long story short, when I left the church, I literally did feel this. I have a chapter of it in my book. Something tripped me. And I was going outside, and they had like about, you know, they have like 15, 20 cement stairs that go down, you know, down to the sidewalk level. And I had my camera on, and I was like, well, I'm done now. And I'm closing the door, and I'm just, and all of a sudden I felt it. I literally felt the foot of something, and it just tripped me. And I went, I caught myself, but I went flying. And I thought nobody was in the area. Nobody would have been able to come and help me. I would have broken my kneecap or whatever the case may be. And I thought, that was something, and I wonder if that was this black thing going down the aisle. Now, my question to you, Heidi, would be this. All right, so now we're in the house of God, perceived house of God, church or whatever, and you're still having issues with these things flitting around there. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, one thing shadow beings don't like is being seen, and so they may charge at you. It's either they flit out, you know, or they go right at you. Yeah. So that's not surprising to me. And, you know, this is a disgusting thing to think of. People think that they're on, you know, holy ground. They're in the church.
Right.
But did you know that there's an effort of people, horrible people, that are going into churches and desecrating them, doing horrible things to make it unholy, you know? They're doing it on purpose. They're doing carvings. They're doing sacrifices. I mean, I just, what was it, like a year ago? It was a priest who flew in two hookers so he can have an orgy on top of the right there in the sink, you know, right in the middle. And he got caught because somebody was driving by wondering why are there lights on in the church at midnight. Mm-hmm. And here he got caught. You know, people are desecrating these holy and sacred grounds, so you can't trust that anything is okay. There's literally groups that are going around the churches doing this too. So that's why your church is you, right? It's in the body. You have to pray there. And I do something that I was shown that the angelic beings showed me. How they communicate with God. They don't sit there and write it out. They don't sit there and talk it out either. Yeah. When they're, and I wrote a book about it called Picture Prayers. So and they see something and there's a problem going on, they visually take it in and send it to God. Visually take it in, send it to God. So it's like a movie camera, you know? And so I do that all day long. I don't have to take time out for prayer, because it takes no time at all. Because as I'm going through my days, I'm sending my thoughts to Him. And it's very much a communication conversation with God versus praying anymore. So it's important to know there's no place like yourself to keep sacred.
Oh no, and I agree with you 100%. Well, my goodness, we have flown by here. Oh my God. And we barely touched the surface. I mean, seriously, Heidi and I could probably talk all day about all these types of things that we've experienced in our lives. But the most important thing here is I hope that you've learned something from her conversation with me about this, and kind of opened up your eyes a little bit to new perspectives that maybe you haven't quite thought about before. Heidi, tell people a little bit about, and we'll have to have you back in the late, I call it the late future, but tell people a little bit about how they can watch you on your program, if they need to get a hold of you. What would you like to share with people about that? Tell us a little bit.
Well, I tell you, there's been so many different perspectives I've seen over the years. I don't know. I don't know what hasn't come across anymore. It's like, I love getting and hearing people's stories, including your own. And I think everybody has a unique perspective. And I love the contributions, because this is how we get the conversations rolling. Mm-hmm. I welcome people who have stories like yourself or other people. Research, there's something they want to talk about, to go to my website called shadowfolks.com or HeidiHollis.com. Write me, tell me as much detail as you'd like, and I will discuss it on the air. I will share your email. If you wanted to be anonymous or not shared, you just let me know in the first line. My show is called Dark Becomes Light on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And so I'm one of three podcasts on Coast to Coast Network. So it's been a lot of fun. I'm also a comic strip artist and occupational therapist. So I'm a behavioral health occupational therapist, which comes in handy in the kind of angle I come at these topics and discussing what it is that people have experienced. So essentially a paranormal therapist of sorts. And I tell folks to, you know, go to theoutlanderscomic.com if they'd like. And also a big challenge a lot of people have when they're met with something evil is they're like, well, my faith isn't good, blah, blah, blah. So I decided to do a couple of comic-like books. And it's unbelievably been inspiring to hear the feedback. So if they go to the other F word, as in faith, .com, I have a couple of books for kids and for adults, you know, to try to be okay with themselves, that they can take these things on. So, you know, there's so many angles that we could come at these topics, and anything that'll bring peace, understanding, and, you know, to win in the end. I think it's important. So that's why I cover so many different angles, because I'm trying to corral and get people to understand the human potential is something to be reckoned with, and know that God's on your side. These negative things won't win, alien or not, or demon or not, devil too.
No, really good. Thank you so much, Heidi, for being on the show. Again, we'll have to have you back in the late future. And again, everybody, please go into her websites and check out all her information, because I think that I agree with you, Heidi. We need to keep the dialogue going. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. This is awesome.
Thank you so much, Heidi, for that wonderful interview on part one and part two. So in just a few moments, I'm going to be pulling an article on bilocation. It's bilocation. It may sound like bio when I talk, but I'm really mentioning bilocation. And I found that to be really interesting, because I hadn't really heard about that before, but what came to my mind during the interview was simply when you hear people say, oh, you've got a double, or I've seen you elsewhere before, or don't you look familiar? You do look familiar. I'm wondering if what they're referring to in some unusual way is somebody who is bi-locating, or if there's truly some truth behind this phenomena, if you want to call it that, of being in two places at the same time. So hold tight here and we'll get back. And I pulled a couple articles. And again, this is not a religion show, but this is very much associated pretty much with the spiritual side of things, of which many of us can identify. And for those who cannot identify, just please hang on with me throughout the message of what I'm trying to relay on all this and really give you something to think about. Stay tuned.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction.
We are ready to scare you.
Para X.
There are many mysteries in life that we may not ever come to truly understand. Some of us have very specific things that happen to us, but we don't always understand what is happening to us. I think Heidi mentioned it pretty clearly in our discussion that she just doesn't know why, as they say, she was perhaps a chosen one for types of work that she is doing or trying to do to better our planet. She came from a situation that was relatively interesting, being amongst energy in the universe, and then all of a sudden finding herself on this planet attempting to educate many of us about some of the unusual things that are happening around us. One of those unusual things, of course, is Shadow Man, the Hat Man, which she trademarked, by the way. And of course, when you go back to 1997, the only way that you would know that is by reading her first book. But I myself have had a couple situations with something that appears to be in a shadow-like nature, something of a wisp or something in a church that glides across right down the middle of the floor. It only goes to prove to people that even if you're under the house of God, that this stuff can still happen. So what I found interesting about having our discussion in part one and part two is that she has told me a little bit about her abilities to bi-locate. And bi-locate simply means the ability to be in two places at once. And I need to remind all of you again that her story where she first learned that she had this ability was when she simply went to lay down in a bed and found herself essentially getting off the porch of her parents' home. And then meeting who she felt was Jesus. So what I did here was I'm very fascinated by biolocation and, where does this happen? How does this happen? Some people think that maybe you've just fallen into a portal and you find yourself in an area or in a situation that you're a little disoriented by. Recently, when I had a guest on the show who talked about these disappearances in just not even national parks, just anywhere, That one moment you can be walking with a group of people, not even the last one in the group, and all of a sudden just simply disappear and find yourself somewhere else. So my question is, after talking with this guest and then talking with Heidi, did this person or these individuals, did they actually walk through a vortex or a portal, or possibly did they bi-locate? And I want to make sure I don't say bio, bi-locate to some other place. So I looked up and I found just a couple articles here. One is called Discovering the Diary, What About Biolocation? And I am going to read to you some of the interesting stuff that it brings up in this article so we can have a bit of a dialogue on this. This article is by Mark Massery. And let's see if I could, it was written August 25th, 2020. Isn't that interesting? Almost to the day that I am recording this. Very interesting. So let's see. Did you know that Saint Faustina had the gift of biolocation? Biolocation, again, is the ability to be in two places at the same time. This story is in reference to Jesus told her that she would recite the Divine Mercy Chaplet by the bedside of a dying man in despair in order to obtain mercy for him. She wrote, "Suddenly I found myself in a strange cottage where an elderly man was dying amidst great torments. When I began to pray, the soul became calm and filled with trust and, of course, rested in the Lord. At the same moment, this person found herself again in her own room. She asked the question, 'How does this happen?' And, of course, the answer is, 'Do not know.'" So this wasn't the only time that this Saint Faustina bilocated to the bedside of a dying person. You might recall that Heidi had mentioned that she biolocated to a gal who was distraught when a bullet went through the house that she was in, or the house of where her boyfriend was in, and the bullet hit him, and she felt that if she would have repositioned the furniture, that this would never have happened. But Heidi had whispered in her ear that regardless, it was his time to go, and so therefore, no matter what they would have done, it still would have happened. This article says that once she was transported to a house in her home neighborhood to pray by someone's bedside. This was in 1536. Now, I find that really interesting how there are records of this stuff that go way back to a time period that is so many hundreds of years ago, and yet this was written down somewhere where to this day we're still reading about it. Let's see. She said that this Saint Faustina had to stay in her cell because she was too ill to attend Mass, but the Lord miraculously transported her there. And she wrote, "Jesus has a remedy for everything." So, of course, what this article says is now you might be thinking, well, the first thing you might be thinking is, I'm not religious, so I don't care to listen to this. But I do want to emphasize something about where this potentially may have started and come from. And regardless of whether or not you are a believer in any kind of religion, as I talk about this tonight, whatever this is regarding bilocation, you have to ask yourself the question, does this absolutely exist? And if it does, why does it only exist in certain individuals? You have to still keep asking yourself that question. So this article is saying the same thing. It's impossible, you know, but then again, There's a scripture that says that nothing is impossible with God. I can actually agree with that. And maybe some of you can too. And it's called A Divine Miracle. And again, this is not a religious program. This is a program to make you think about some of these things that happen that simply cannot be explained. Now, remember, I used to think when I was younger that everything was spiritual. If something happened, it was because of divine spirituality. That's what, and maybe it was. But then as time went on, I started to think to myself, maybe this isn't spiritual. Maybe this is paranormal, or maybe this is extraterrestrial. And so there seems to be an overlap with energy in some degree that we're not exactly sure where to put our hand on some of these miraculous situations. I can tell you to this day that I'm probably not supposed to be here to this day, but I am, and my healing was done miraculously. And I'm talking about when I had cancer and I was told I was a miracle. I didn't believe it at first. I thought, right? But I grew up in a religion where I still held to that. And when you're in your most dire moment in life, you will turn back to the one thing that you feel has been there for you the whole time, even though maybe there are times when you've absolutely been upset by the fact that miracles don't always happen, and you turn and look away. Let me see here. There's something here on this that talks about this in the Catholic faith. And I'm not of a Catholic faith. I'm of a Lutheran faith. Something to do with a lady in blue, and that had visited many times. And after some investigation, this is what the article says, the friars discovered that the woman in blue was the Spanish nun, something to do with Vulnerable Mary of Agreda, and she couldn't explain how it happened. All right, so you're a chosen one. It says here that there is documented evidence of these types of mysterious miracles actually happening. So never doubt, of course, the Lord's power to intervene in your life. God can do anything. Trust in Him. When I was dying of COVID, and I had it pretty badly, and they didn't have any room at the inn for me, let me put it to you that way, I was at home and begging for my life. I will tell you, miracles did happen for me. I do not know if it was the power of prayer, because I didn't have any strength to pray. I asked for some prayers. I asked for some healing through prayer. But the thing is that bottom line, I don't know how many people actually prayed for me, but there was prayer going on and happening on my behalf. And I made it, and it wasn't easy. And we didn't have the stuff that we have to this day to take to help us along in our journey of this terrible thing that still controls our lives and planets, and our, you know, when you go traveling and this and that, it's always on our back shoulder. And I just hate that, but that's life. Let me look and see here if I can find another article. Is biolocation possible? That might be a good article. Why don't we see what that has to say? Skepticism. This one is from Joel Nickel. He wrote that there is no scientific evidence that biolocation is a real phenomenon, and that cases are often from anecdotal reports that cannot be verified. Nickel listed self-delusion, hoaxing, and allusion to explained alleged cases of biolocation. So we have a skeptic on board here, okay, being in two places at the same time. Now, I asked Heidi if when she was in the second location at the quote-unquote same time, she said there are times she didn't recall being in that second location. But isn't it interesting how whoever approached some of these individuals recalled what she looked like, recalled what she sounded like, and that these were miraculous and situations where help was definitely needed. So that's kind of interesting. Personally, I still believe, and I don't know why, that I've been told this a million times, there's a double of us running around everywhere. And Heidi had received, through email and in the mail, she actually received photographs of her nearby or around these individuals. So if you can imagine for a moment that a double is out there or part of your soul is out there doing good for other people, wouldn't that be absolutely startling to see yourself? And of course, the question is were you wearing the same clothes? Can you figure out what day you showed up just by the clothes that you were wearing? These would be extra questions that I would have a dialogue about. Here's another article here. Let's see if I can find something real interesting on this one. Someone is writing about how they had a biolocation experience of their own, and it occurred on their 31st birthday. So that would be the next question we need to ask. How young can you be to experience biolocation? And again, it's bilocation, bilocation. And so this is kind of interesting because I never asked Heidi how old she was when she started to experience this. And she is still experiencing this to this day. Okay, so that's interesting too. Here's a story for you, and I'm going to read it verbatim. Let's see, this one comes from John Crowder in 2007. So this is not a new concept, but he's writing about something here that kind of has caught my eye. So let's take a look and see what he has to say. He said he was still sleeping at home in America. Oh, good grief. I can already tell you where he probably ended up, right? He said, that morning, exactly when this occurred, my wife dreamed that we were planting two seeds at the same time. How would you like God to enable you to plant two separate seeds at once? Okay, so what is he talking about here? Miracles of trilocation. Okay, being in three places at the same time. You know, I still am trying to figure out bilocation rather than trilocation. And he even talks about multilocation, showing up in numerous places at once. That's scary. All right, so let's see what he's talking about here. He is talking, bilocation has just happened to a minister friend of his at a Christian conference at the same time when he was eating elsewhere with some friends. During the meeting with these friends, this minister friend was eating some supernatural manna that had physically fallen earlier in a revival meeting. I don't really know what that means. But at the same exact same time, he was signing into the conference and greeting about 30 separate people that had actually witnessed him as he's saying to them, bless you, to each one of them. So here you have a situation of somebody eating somewhere. He says that he remembers eating with a couple. He also says he was intoxicated in the glory at the time, whatever that might mean, and that he felt like he was in two places at the same time. But he has no recollection of being in, here's the country, in Ireland. All right, so that's a little bit, as they say in this article, a little strange and bizarre, how somebody can be greeting 30 people at the same time at some kind of a religious situation, but yet all of a sudden finding himself eating with a couple people in Ireland. All right, that's very intriguing to me. I don't really know if this is totally a religious phenomenon. That's the next question I would ask. It's like, does this only happen? You can tell it's been a long day. Does this only happen to people who are very into their religion, or does this happen to those individuals as well who may not be religious at all? At what age does this happen to individuals? Is there some formula for sitting there wondering what on earth makes you light up like a match in order to technically be in two places at the same time? Maybe when we hear people talk about, you have a double out there. I saw your double. Look at this picture. Isn't that you? No, that's not me. Where did you take that picture? No, I've never been there. A double at the same time. Are they actually talking about somebody who is actually technically bi-locating rather than technically being a double in another place at the same time? When someone talks about trilocating, that gets scarier. And someone who is multi-locating, you need to start to wonder who we are, what we are, what we're made out of, what kind of agreements we might have made when we came to this planet, as everybody has a different theory about how they got here. And most importantly, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of someone who bilocates? What is the purpose of somebody who all of a sudden is told, oh, I saw you, but I know I could have sworn I'd seen you before? How many of you out there have ever been told, yeah, I know you, I recognize you, I've seen you before, but you have absolutely no clue who this person is, what they're talking about, and most importantly, why did you show up somewhere where you probably have never been before? Something to think about. Interesting stuff, huh? Well, we have just a little bit more time here on this segment, and so I believe we're going to roll that haunted report. Stay tuned.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. So, I have a story to tell you about. I just got back from the Stanley Hotel in Colorado and had a very interesting time while I was there. My husband, niece, and I were, we had a room on the fourth floor of the Stanley. And for those of you who are not familiar enough with this hotel, I believe The Shining, the movie, was either written from that place as a possibility, Dumb and Dumber with Jim Carrey and, I can't remember his name, Jeff Daniels had scenes at that place as well as another place for that movie. And so it has kind of a little bit of a history there. but it is very haunted on the fourth floor with a variety of experiences that go on. Also, the second floor is also noted to be a little bit on the haunted side. Apparently, room 217 is the most negative haunted room in the entire building, and many situations occur in there, including one, I believe, if I read this properly or heard this properly, Jim Carrey had when he was there, and he decided that he was not going to stay in that room. And I can't recall this correctly, so don't quote me, but he may have gone elsewhere. I stayed in room 402, and the closest room to me, which was situated, of course, the room that was situated between my room and another, which was the elevator that separated us, was a room where a man was noted to have, I think he liked young ladies, and he would be noted in that room to kiss on their forehead or their cheek just at the point that they were going to bed or sleeping during the evening time. 402, the room that I was in, was noted to have children, as in the children's room, back in its day. And my husband, my niece, and I were standing out in the hallway at one point, just kind of looking around, and a gentleman came up from wherever, and he was staying in room 426, and I can't recall exactly what happened in there. But he was all excited. He had to tell us that, did you know that children play out here on the veranda area, which was just an area that was, you know, oversized outside of the rooms in the hallway area. And that they've been noted to make so much ruckus and so much noise that people would be irritated because they couldn't sleep because they hear these children playing out in the hallway all night. Well, it's really difficult for me when I'm in any situation to hear somebody talk about and be excited about paranormal activity, since I've done this for well over 30 years. I mean, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, thank you. But, you know, I don't want to take the excitement away from somebody who's there and wanting to have an experience. So, of course, you're going to ask me, well, did you have an experience? The answer is, of course, yes. I had a couple of them. In our room, there was a point where I needed to use the restroom, and I did not turn on the lights because I didn't have to going into the bathroom. But my niece kind of pointed that out. She was wondering why I went into the bathroom in the dark, and I wanted to say, well, it really wasn't dark. But anyway, while I was sitting in there, there was ruckus of some kind that sounded like it came from children, but it sounded as if it was coming up the shower drain. And so I looked at the shower drain and I thought, oh, this is kind of strange. There seems to be some noise going on either in that drain or in the room next to us. It lasted probably about, I'd say about 5 seconds. And there was an echo, but it was obvious that there was more than one, and it was obvious that it was children, the sounds of children. Okay, so when we were out in the veranda, and this gentleman had stopped by to chatter with us for a moment, I looked directly across from where I was standing, because that was right next to our room. And I noticed that it was not a hotel room. And I thought to myself, oh, how interesting. I hear this chatter and this noise coming from what sounded like the drain in our shower, or partially maybe also the room next door, only to realize that what I saw was nothing more. And yes, I went over to it. And yes, I tried the door. And yes, it was not locked. there was a hole in it, like where the lock would normally go or where the deadbolt would be. And I pulled the door wide open. Now, keep in mind, it was humid. So anybody who was, near the area could have heard me, like, literally open up that door. Looked inside, did not go inside, but did note that it was a storage room where they keep a lot of their stuff for the rooms on that floor. And I said, okay, thank you, definitely, case closed. Kids love dark spaces. Consider it like a closet. They love horsing around and stuff like that. And maybe they could have even been on the third floor below us where the echoes were coming up that piping of that drain. But regardless, yes, I did have an experience there. I also had experiences on the haunted tour. And of course, I did not see any apparitions because I believe I need to be electrified in order for that to happen. My niece and I both, because she was a little nervous, we slept in the same bed. My husband was in the TV room on a couch. I laid out a bunch of objects, little rubber duckies, jingle bells, all kinds of just different things, coins, and to see if anything would be moved in the morning, played with, etc. He heard nothing during the night. My niece and I just kind of unexpectedly just woke up in dead air, dead silence. Why we did, I could not tell you, and I do not know what time she woke up, and I don't know exactly why I woke up. We were extremely tired from our trip, because we were going everywhere out there in Colorado and then very exhausted by the time we got back to our room. So sometime I will tell you a little bit more about the Stanley Hotel, but I can tell you one thing. Yes, you might have an experience there. Yes, it would be better if you stayed on the fourth floor. Yes, it would be good if you probably did some research about what happens in each of those rooms. And of course, do not be afraid, because whether it's residual or intelligent energy that is still flitting about in that hotel, the one thing that I can definitely say is that it is definitely haunted. Thank you for listening to the program tonight. I hope you learned something and found something intriguing. And again, continue listening in the future as I bring you more interesting guests and programming.